Chapter 5. An Unsalaried Ministry. Unsalaried workers needed. The burden of the work has been left largely with those who are laboring under salary, but this is not as it should be. The great missionary field is open to all, and the lay members of our churches must understand that no one is exempted from labor in the Master's vineyard. Follow me. When Christ called his disciples to follow him, he offered them no flattering prospects in this life. He gave them no promise of gain or worldly honor, nor did they make any stipulation as to what they should receive. To Matthew, as he sat at the receipt of custom, the Savior said, "Follow me." And he left all, rose up, and followed him. Matthew did not, before rendering service, wait to demand a certain salary, equal to the amount received in his former occupation. Without question or hesitation, he followed Jesus. It was enough for him that he was to be with the Savior, that he might hear his words and unite with him in his work. So it was with the disciples previously called. When Jesus bade Peter and his companions follow him, immediately they left their boats and nets. Some of these disciples had friends dependent on them for support, but when they received the Savior's invitation, they did not hesitate and inquire, "How shall I live and sustain my family?" They were obedient to the call, and when afterward Jesus asked them, "When I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything?" They could answer, "Nothing." Today the Savior calls us, as he called Matthew and John and Peter, to his work. If our hearts are touched by his love, the question of compensation will not be uppermost in our minds. We shall rejoice to be co-workers with Christ, and we shall not fear to trust his care. If we make God our strength, we shall have clear perceptions of duty, unselfish aspirations. Our life will be actuated by a noble purpose, which will raise us above sordid motives. God will provide. Many who profess to be Christ's followers have an anxious, troubled heart, because they are afraid to trust themselves with God. They do not make a complete surrender to Him, for they shrink from the consequences that such a surrender may involve. Unless they do make this surrender, they cannot find peace. There are many whose hearts are aching under a load of care because they seek to reach the world's standard. They have chosen its service, accepted its perplexities, adopted its customs. Thus their character is marred, and their life made a weariness. The continual worry is wearing out the life forces. Our Lord desires them to lay aside this yoke of bondage. He invites them to accept His yoke. He says, "My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Worry is blind and cannot discern the future, but Jesus sees the end from the beginning. In every difficulty he has his way prepared to bring relief. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Our Heavenly Father has 1,000 ways to provide for us of which we know nothing. Those who accept the one principle of making the service of God supreme will find perplexities vanish and a plain path before their feet. Encouraging faith. The faithful discharge of today's duties is the best preparation for tomorrow's trials. Do not gather together all tomorrow's liabilities and cares and add them to the burden of today. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let us be hopeful and courageous. Despondency in God's service is sinful and unreasonable. He knows our every necessity. To the omnipotence of the King of Kings, our covenant-keeping God unites the gentleness and care of the tender shepherd. His power is absolute, and it is the pledge of the sure fulfillment of His promises to all who trust in Him. He has means for the removal of every difficulty, that those who serve Him and respect the means He employs may be sustained. His love is as far above all other love as the heavens are above the earth. He watches over children with a love that is measureless and everlasting. In the darkest days, when appearances seem most forbidding, have faith in God. He is working out His will, doing all things well in behalf of His people. The strength of those who love and serve Him will be renewed day by day. He is able and willing to bestow upon His servants all the help they need. He will give them the wisdom which their varied necessities demand. Said the tried Apostle Paul, "He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. The Ministry of Healing, 479 to 482. Work unselfishly. The whole church needs to be imbued with the missionary spirit. Then there will be many to work unselfishly in various ways as they can, without being salaried. There is altogether too much dependence on machinery, on mechanical working. Machinery is good in its place, but do not allow it to become too complicated. I tell you that in many cases it has retarded the work, and kept out laborers who in their line could have accomplished far more than has been done by the minister who depends on sermonizing more than on ministry. Young men need to catch the missionary spirit, to be thoroughly imbued with the spirit of the message. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Work in any capacity, work where God leads you, in the line best suited to your talents, and best adapted to reach classes that have hitherto been sadly neglected. This kind of labor will develop intellectual and moral power, and adaptability to the work. Christians will manifest the self-sacrificing spirit of Christ in their work, in connection with every branch of the cause. They will not, cannot, live in luxury and self-indulgence, while there are suffering ones around them. Let none of those who name the name of Christ be cowards in his cause. For Christ's sake, stand as if looking within the open portals of the city of God. The Southern Work, 16-18. The Experience of Paul and Its Lessons. While Paul was careful to set before his converts the plain teaching of Scripture regarding the proper support of the work of God, and while he claimed for himself, as a minister of the gospel, the power to forbear working at secular employment as a means of self-support, yet at various times during his ministry in the great centers of civilization, he wrought at a handicraft for his own maintenance. The Acts of the Apostles, 346. There were some who objected to Paul's toiling with his hands, declaring that it was inconsistent with the work of a gospel minister. Why should Paul, a minister of the highest rank, thus connect mechanical work with the preaching of the word? Was not the laborer worthy of his hire? Why should he spend in making tents time that to all appearance could be put to better account? An example of industry. But Paul did not regard as lost the time thus spent. As he worked with Aquila, he kept in touch with the great teacher, losing no opportunity of witnessing for the Savior and of helping those who needed help. His mind was ever reaching out for spiritual knowledge. He gave his fellow workers instruction in spiritual things, and he also set an example of industry and thoroughness. He was a quick, skillful worker, diligent in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. As he worked at his trade, the apostle had access to a class of people that he could not otherwise have reached. He showed his associates that skill in the common arts is a gift from God, who provides both the gift and the wisdom to use it aright. He taught that even in everyday toil, God is to be honored. His toil-hardened hands detracted nothing from the force of his pathetic appeals as a Christian minister. The Acts of the Apostles, 351-352. Not all who feel that they have been called to preach should be encouraged to throw themselves and their families at once upon the church for continuous financial support. Young men who desire to exercise their gifts in the work of the ministry will find a helpful lesson in the example of Paul at Thessalonica, Corinth, Ephesus, and other places. Although an eloquent speaker and chosen by God to do a special work, he was never above labor, nor did he ever weary of sacrificing for the cause he loved. The Acts of the Apostles, 354. An inspiration to humble toilers. Paul set an example against the sentiment, then gaining influence in the church, that the gospel could be proclaimed successfully only by those who were wholly freed from the necessity of physical toil. He illustrated in a practical way what might be done by consecrated laymen in many places where the people were unacquainted with the truths of the gospel. His course inspired many humble toilers with a desire to do what they could to advance the cause of God, while at the same time they supported themselves in daily labor. Aquila and Priscilla were not called to give their whole time to the ministry of the gospel, Yet these humble laborers were used by God to show Apollos the way of truth more perfectly. The Lord employs various instrumentalities for the accomplishment of His purpose. And while some with special talents are chosen to devote all their energies to the work of teaching and preaching the gospel, many others, upon whom human hands have never been laid in ordination, are called to act an important part in soul saving. There is a large field open before the self-supporting gospel worker. Many may gain valuable experience in ministry while toiling a portion of the time at some form of manual labor. And by this method, strong workers may be developed for important service in needy fields. The Acts of the Apostles, 355, assisting his fellow laborers. Paul sometimes worked night and day, not only for his own support, but that he might assist his fellow laborers. He shared his earnings with Luke and helped Timothy. He even suffered hunger at times, that he might relieve the necessities of others. The Acts of the Apostles, 352. These hands, he declared, have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. Amidst his arduous labors and extensive journeys for the cause of Christ, he was able not only to supply his own wants, but to spare something for the support of his fellow laborers and the relief of the worthy poor. This he accomplished only by unremitting diligence and the closest economy. Well might he point to his own example, as he said, "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, It is more blessed to give than to receive." The Acts of the Apostles, 395-396. Conditions of success. The Lord is well pleased when those who go forth as missionaries are more anxious for the salvation of souls than they are regarding the wages they shall receive for their work. When Christ's witnesses work under the Holy Spirit's guidance, when they are stripped of all selfishness, souls are converted by their earnest, patient, persevering efforts. In poverty and helplessness. Let two or more persons start out together in evangelistic work. They may not get any particular encouragement from those at the head of the work, that they will be sustained, but nevertheless, let them go forward, praying, singing, teaching, living the truth. They may take up the important work of canvassing, and in this way, introduce the truth into many families. As they move forward in their work, they gain a blessed experience. They are humbled by a sense of their poverty and helplessness, but the Lord manifestly goes before them. Among the wealthy and the poor, they find favor and help. They come close in friendship to those for whom they work, the one imparting the treasures of the Word, the other imparting temporal sustenance, and both are blessed. Even the poverty of the workers is a means of finding access to the people. As these humble missionaries pass on their way, they are helped in many ways by those to whom they bring spiritual food. Many isolated ones are brought to a knowledge of the truth, who, but for these humble teachers, would never have been won to Christ. An exhausted treasury, no reason for delay. Self-supporting missionaries are often very successful. Beginning in a small and humble way, their work enlarges under the guidance of the Spirit of God. This work all can do who have received the truth into the heart. Providence opens the way for workers to go to isolated places, and if they bear the message God gives them, their efforts will be crowned with success. God calls for men to enter the whitening harvest field. Shall His workmen wait because the treasury is exhausted, because there is scarcely enough to sustain the workers now in the field? Go forth in faith, and God will be with you. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Psalm 126, verse 6. Nothing is so successful as success. Let this be secured, and the work will move forward. New fields will be opened. Many souls will be won to the truth. What is needed is increased faith in God. Moneyed men to help. For years, the perplexing question has been before us. How can we raise funds adequate for the support of the missions which the Lord has gone before us to open? The Lord desires that moneyed men shall be converted and act as His helping hand in reaching others. He desires that those who can help in the work of reform and restoration shall see the precious light of truth and be transformed in character and led to use their entrusted capital in His service. He would have them invest the means He has lent them, in doing good, in opening the way for the gospel to be preached to all classes nigh and afar off. The compassionate Redeemer bids his servants give to rich and poor the call to the supper. Go out into the highways and the hedges, and by your persevering, determined efforts, compel them to come in. Let ministers of the gospel take hold of these worldly moneyed men and bring them to the banquet of truth that Christ has prepared for them. Testimonies for the Church 9, 114-115. When the poor have done their part. There are men of wealth who will accept the last message if the right kind of labor is put forth. The Lord has made men His stewards and has entrusted to them the means to carry forward His work. When the poor have done all they can to advance the cause, the Lord will bring in men of means to carry on the work. 298, Old Edition. The truth spreads when living, active workers commend it by personal effort, characterized by piety and the beauty of true holiness.